Turning your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your precious word that can guide us into all truth. Lord, you have set us free with thy word. We pray, my Father, that you speak to every heart that's here this morning. Lord, that you would have your way. I pray that you would be lifted up and only you receive all the honor and glory. Only thou art worthy. We thank you and we love you, Lord. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. You know, I had been trying to come up with a message for this Sunday, and many times I struggle because I'm trying to bring something that is needed, something that is relevant, something that we all need to hear. And the only thing that could come to my mind and was really pressing on me was the word comfort, that I needed to preach on comfort. And as I began to look through the scriptures, I see that throughout the Bible, God wants you to be comforted. He is the God of comfort. He has sent us the comforter. And he expects his children to go out and comfort other people. And I guess because of all the troubles and trials and things that I'm seeing in this world, and as I begin to look in the scriptures, the first time I see the word comfort is in Genesis chapter 5, and I just want to make some comments about this. It's on verse 29. Let me read it to you. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." Noah is supposed to be a comfort. And when you look at his name and, you know, how often we've read about him, it didn't seem to bring any comfort to me. I never thought of him being a comfort. And what did he do that would bring comfort to me? And it's not what Noah did. It's what God did for Noah. When I contemplate it and realize how Noah gives me comfort, is to know that at the time of trials, when the water before he began to drop, after he had already been persecuted, after he had already been mocked, after he had already preached the gospel for so long, then the Lord put him up and protected him from the wrath to come. And that's comfort. When I think of Noah, I think now of the comfort that God gives us, that we will not go through any wrath. We have been, he will take us away from any wrath to come. But as I was reading these verses, and I'm not going to be preaching on the rapture itself or those who were left behind, because we weren't left behind. The Lord hasn't come yet. But the thing is that Paul is talking to the Thessalonians. They had been going through so much trouble, and he gives them words of comfort. But you know, I would just the reason I arrived at this topic of comfort is because Monday I had to go to a funeral. And what do you do in funerals? You go and try to give words of comfort. Even though my words, I know it probably doesn't comfort anybody, just to say I offer my condolences, I'm sorry for your loss. It's just the idea that you're there, your support, and people want you to be there. You're trying to comfort those that are mourning, and but then during the week, My partner that goes with me door to door, he says, I need to take you to go visit some of my relatives. So we went to Seguin. And our first stop was at a nursing home. And as I was talking to this lady, she would tell me, I want to go home. And it really broke my heart. Those are the same words that my grandmother used to tell me when she was in the nursing home. It used to break me. But I talked to her. And right next to her, in the next bed, was a lady that kept hollering, screaming. She was in pain. And that was hard, to be listening to that. And of course, she got attended, but you wind up, even though you preach the gospel, you still wind up giving words of comfort. You're trying to edify somebody. After that, we went to two more homes, and one of them was an elderly man also. And he had been sick for a long time, but he would not tell his family. He didn't want to bother them. But immediately he told me, I'm sick. And they heard him and they said, how come you never tell us? And they made an appointment to see the doctor. So here again, I'm giving words of comfort, giving him encouragement that he might get healed and that we got good doctors and so many things and preach the gospel. Then Friday, Rosie gives me a call. She says, my brother died. And I feel so inadequate. I feel so out of touch to just say, I'm so sorry. But I just feel like the children of God need to be comforted. I know that I look here at what's happening in this country, and I see so many people going through so much suffering, especially those around the Mississippi River, losing their homes and all possessions and everything that they had worked so hard. And they're crying, and you feel like going over there to tell them, I'm sorry. There's help. Somebody will lend a hand. You will recover. And here in our church, many people are suffering, but they suffer alone. They don't tell you. We got so many problems, but sometimes they tell us so we can pray for them, and many times they just bear it. They just grunt. But they have troubles in all kinds, just like everybody else. You look in the news and you see what the administration did to Israel, what they told them, that they need to go back to the pre-67 boundaries, and it bothered me. Because this is the ones that God's people. And I feel like saying, Israel, I'm with you. I'll support you. 90% of the people that called in, they all said, we support Israel. Netanyahu came over, he says, no way, we're not going that route. There's no way we're turning our backs. We're not going to those times. And I feel like saying, I'm behind you, I support you. The thing is that everything is sad all over the world. Everything you see, everywhere, people are getting killed. And you see all the turmoils. And you feel like being a comforter. But the thing is that when it comes to Israel, the Bible is very clear. God said that there will be a day when He's going to judge the nations. There will be a judgment of the saints. There will be a judgment of the whole world. But there's also going to be a judgment of the nations. And when He judges them, He's not going to ask who was the most compassionate, who was the strongest, who gave the most, who had more people on food stamps. He's going to judge them by, what did you do for the least of these, my brethren? It's what did you do for Israel? And this is what saddens me. The thing is that there is so much affliction. And what we have here in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. And he's telling them that in chapter 1 that they had received the word of God in much affliction. This, he says, but the word, he says, it sounded from you, he says this, they sounded out the word of God. These guys received the gospel, they received God's word. They accepted the Lord as their Lord and Savior, and then they became an example through all the regions. They sounded out the word. That can be interpreted. They either preached it out loud, or they went door to door, or they talked personally. It don't matter how you take it. The thing is, they sounded out the word. Paul says that they were suffering so much tribulation. But you know, one of the things that Paul says, and Paul is a follower of Christ, and he also tells you, follow me like I follow Christ. He says on chapter 2, he says, we exhorted and comforted as a father does his children. When I read those words, and I've read them many times, I'm sure you have too, it touches me. It teaches me. It tells me the compassion that Paul had for the souls that are out in the streets. When he would go and witness, he had compassion for them like a father has for a son. And I know the compassion I have for my son. I know the compassion you have for your son and for your daughters. You love them. You don't want to offend them. You want to just set them on the right track. That's how we should be with all the world. That's how Paul was with the Thessalonians. No wonder they went out on the streets. They wanted to serve God. They had been brought up the right way. Paul had talked to them and comforted them. And when he wasn't there, he tells you in the next chapter, he said, we sent Timotheus that he might go and comfort you and find out about your faith. So we see here that that God wants us to be comforters, and when you can't comfort, send somebody else. But we are to be in the business of comforting people. There is so much sorrow, there's so much pain, and there's so much anguish, agony, and all kinds of trials and tribulations. We are to be a very compassionate people. That's how Jesus was, that's how Paul was, and that's how we are to be. When the Bible says, comfort ye my people, he's talking to the multitudes. That's in Isaiah chapter 40. This was not Isaiah just talking to the religious people or a message for later on for John the Baptist. He's saying, comfort ye, ye means plural. He's not saying, comfort thou. In the Old Testament, when it talks about the Ten Commandments, it always says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your soul. Thou shalt not have no other gods. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's always thou. It's for you. But when he says, comfort ye my people, he's telling you two times, don't miss it. It's very important. And I'm talking to the multitudes. That's what God wants us to do. It's not only for the pastors to do the comforting. It's for the whole congregation. We all are to be followers of Paul, just like he followed the Lord. That's why he says in Psalm 119, he says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. You know, it is God's word that you need to use. It is God's word that you need to preach. If somebody's going to be comforted, it's not going to be so much with the words that you just say. People are not waiting for real nice big words of comfort. They're looking for things from God. Just to say God loves you, that might be sufficient. That's from God. For God so loved the world, can you just say, God loves you to somebody? That's what God expects us to do. Paul says later on in 1 Corinthians, he said, he that prophesies speaketh unto men. to edification, to exhortation, to comfort. He that prophesieth, do you prophesy? He's not talking about the prophecy that foretells the future. It is the prophecy when we speak. That's what he's talking about. He that preaches, in other words, he that speaketh, he that prophesieth unto men, speaketh unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. And that's the way we ought to look at things. But I want you to notice something. The people in Thessalonica were going through so much troubles. It reminds me of America. It reminds me of this world, especially the Christians. They're the ones that were going through so much tribulation. They had received the word in so much affliction, Paul says. But now Paul is going to try to teach them something to bring comfort. He's going to expose to them a mystery that he had already told the Corinthians. Or I'm not really sure who he told first. Nevertheless, this is called a mystery. He's going to talk to them about what will happen or could happen to you if you're living in the last days. That we could be raptured out of here. He says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And I remember when I read these words 29 years ago when I had just gotten saved and I was going through the scriptures. I remember he grabbed my attention. I asked some questions. I searched. I looked. And when I understood what it meant, that it was very possible that I might be living in those days and that I might be taken up and not get to see death, that was very comforting to me. Who wants to die? It's not a very good thing. It's a sad situation. There's a lot of mourning and crying. There's a lot of pain, anguish. Who wants to go through that? To leave your spouse behind, your children behind, and grandkids? Nobody wants to go through that, but when I see this, and there is not any kind of single death that I would say, well, you know, I wouldn't mind dying this way. I've seen them all. I've seen what a train can do to your body. I've seen what an accident can do to human beings. I've seen what a 30-06, a 300 Magnum, a 12-gauge shotgun can do to your head. I've been there. I don't desire to go that route. Matter of fact, the Bible does teach that there is a crown that you can get if you die for the Lord. That's the one crown I don't want. I don't want to have that one. I don't mind the other one, but that one I'd rather just skip. The thing is, I would much rather, I'm just a coward just like you, I'd rather just be taken up in the rapture. This gives me great joy, especially when I see that we're in the last days, and when I read in here that we are going to be caught up with them. And man, that gives me just tremendous joy to know maybe I'll miss that casket. I would just love to go. This is comfort. It was comforting to me then. It's comforting to me now. It was comforting to these guys that were being killed, that were being fed to the lions. Paul is not comforting with the things of this world. But the thing is, when you think about it, what is in this world, or what is in this world that you would really find comfort? Can you think and say, well, you know what, I'm really comfortable and I feel real at ease that I've got a lot of stock in oil, or that I have a big stash of gold, that I bought a lot of silver when it was cheap. None of the things in this life really bring you comfort. To say, well, I've got a big degree. There's a lot of people with big degrees that don't have jobs. Maybe retirement brings comfort to you. Maybe Social Security brings comfort to you. Maybe the golden years, the old age. Let me tell you, I've been there, done that. You don't do no good. I could lose my retirement checks, and I hear many times that we just might. Social Security might go out the door too. They're always saying it's going downhill. The only thing that's not going downhill is old age. I wish they'd take that away. But the thing is that we're going, old age is not something that you can say, well, these are really the golden years. I don't want to be in the nursing home. So there's really not many things or nothing in this life that can bring any comfort to anybody. And God knew it. That's why when he was talking to his disciples, right before the crucifixion, that night before the crucifixion, he had already told them, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. Some of you will be killed. You're going to be hated for my name. He told them about all the things that they would go through. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. And then he tells them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Amen. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to go prepare one for you. Let not your heart be troubled. What can bring away and give you comfort in a world that's full of chaos? Only the thought of going to heaven, only the thought of going with the Lord, to walk in streets of gold, to have a mansion built by God himself. That's the only thing that can bring comfort to anybody that's going through troubles. This is exactly what the Lord told his disciples. In Psalm 23, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, even in death, we can rejoice because God has already told us. Even though when we go through that valley of death, when that dark, lonesome valley, we don't have to fear. In this life, you go to a dark and alley, you better run. You don't know what's going to happen to you, but this valley, even though you go to the valley, even though it's dark, you don't see the psalmist saying, I'm going to run right through. He says, I will walk. What a comfort. He says, I will not fear, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, I know you'll protect me. They comfort me. This is what the Lord is telling them. In death, there is no fear, because God is with you. And this is why he gives us these things. This is why they're also used in all the funerals. When you look at the messages, what they preach at funerals, they preach from this, from John 14 and Psalm 23, just about everybody. Because it brings comfort. It brings comfort to those that are alive. These were not given to the dead. They're given to those that are alive. They're given so that you might be comforted. So that you might be lifted up. The Lord is trying to lift up your spirits. And he's giving you the only thing that can really comfort you. When he says, let not your hearts be troubled. When he says, be comforted by these words. Paul also tells you, who shall separate us from the love of God? Amen. So we have so many things that God wants you to understand. That even though this world is full of troubles, and he has told you, and you know it. You go through it. You've seen others go through it. Especially if you're an older person like me and Brother Kincaid, we've been through a lot, and Sister Verlene, and a lot of you too. You know what it's like when you go through all the medications and pills, and many times I hear Brian tell Brother Kincaid, let's talk, but let's not talk about pills. Let's not talk about heart attacks, okay? I don't want to hear about open heart surgeries, because that's what me and Brother Kincaid talk about. But you know, the thing is that we need to bring comfort. God left it up to us to be comforters. My wife was telling me a story last night, because I was asking her, what would bring comfort to you in all the problems that you go through? She says, I don't know. Anything in this life? She says, nothing. But as we discussed it, she said, you know, when I was not saved and I was a young lady, she says, I went to with somebody else to go visit someone at a nursing home. And there was a young man there in a wheelchair with no legs. It had been amputated. He was young. And my wife went to him, and she didn't know what else to say. But she told him, God loves you. And he just started crying. That's all he needed to hear. That touched his heart. When I was 16 years old, somebody came and told me, God loves you. It touched my heart. I just had so much love for the Lord right at that point. How many people have you told God loves you? I know many times we feel like we can't be wimpy. We need not to use the word love too much. We need to be hard preachers, and we should. But we should also tell people that the Lord loves them, amen, that God cares for them. Amen. This is what Paul did. And when he went and talked to them, he treated them like a father treats a son. And this kind of has come to my attention many times in my years. And it kind of brings me back, because many times I know I have been too hard. I have been too harsh. I've made many mistakes. And I try to learn. I try to be more compassionate. I tried to be more understanding. When I was talking to these people, these elderly people this week, they had all kinds of confusions. It's not their fault. That's what they had been taught. But I had to correct them as best as I could, with as much compassion as I could. This lady tells me, yeah, when Jesus was on the cross, he told his mother, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I said, no, it wasn't the mother. He told God. The sin is against God, not against Mary. It was God, the one that he was talking to. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I was trying to be as compassionate as can be. Not insultive. I still had to correct. But we have to do it with love, because that's what they had been taught. Somebody taught them the wrong thing, just like they had taught me the wrong thing. But God is always ready to forgive. You know, when Paul is talking here, he's talking about the rapture. Something that brings comfort. He says, comfort ye one another with these words. It's something that we should be comforting one another. That we should be telling each other, you know what, the Lord's coming soon. You know what, we'll be, one of these days we're going to hear that shout. Amen. And when we hear that shout, we're going to be taken out of here. And we're going to be catching up to those that had already passed away before us. And there's going to be a great reunion in heaven. Man, there's going to be a lot of shouting. There's going to be a lot of, hey, I didn't know you were saved. And then we're also going to wonder what happened to so-and-so. But you know, the thing is that The people that stay behind, we're going to be rejoicing. But the people that stay behind, I know some will say, just like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 8. He said, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Those who stay behind will say words like that. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. How many you could you have saved if you had just come to them with compassion? So many times I have gone door to door and people, they see our truck and they see the name. And there was another church that tried to copy us and use the same name that we had. And many times they would ask me, do you belong to that church? And I would say, no, that's another one. He said, because they came here and they were very rude. They were very sarcastic. And that just would break my heart. Why would Christians act that way? When you go door to door, when you talk to somebody, when you talk to your neighbors, many times they're confused. That's okay. But you need to treat him just like a father treats his son. How many times our sons and our daughters go the wrong way? How do you correct them? You have compassion on them. You try to show them. You try to reason with them. You try to straighten them out that they might go the right way. This is how we should be with everybody else. This was Paul's way. This was God's way. And it should also be our way. You ought not to stay behind when the time comes. And the Bible is very clear. No man knows when that day comes. Nobody knows the season, the times, or the hours. It will be like a thief in the night. But the thing is, it is written. It will come. We will be gone. And then those that remain will be a very sad time for them. If you're here and you don't know whether you would go on the rapture or if you would die tonight, where would you go? Then you need to settle it. It doesn't take much. There's nothing you can really do. Christ already did it all for you. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that was mocked and scourged and nailed to that cross. He's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that paid for all your sins. But he's looking in your heart. He wants truth in the inward parts. Amen. He wants you to just repent of your sins. Amen. And put all your faith and trust in him to call upon his name. He won't reject you. He will save you if you do it with all your heart. If you do it truthfully. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. He wants truth in the inward parts. I wish you would really get serious. Even though a fool was announcing that yesterday would be the end of the world, it doesn't really matter. The thing is, there will be a day like that. We just don't know when. And nobody knows. So if nobody knows, and everybody knows it's also in the last days, then you ought to settle that account. You ought to settle that problem. You ought to call upon the Lord and get saved. If you have any questions, any concerns, you want someone to show you, hang around. Somebody here will show you. I will show you. Any other pastors, many people here will know what to do. The thing is that for those of us that are saved, why don't you make a commitment also that you will go out and try to comfort somebody? You never know. It could be somebody that might not tell you all their troubles. They might not tell you all the things that they're going through. But there's a lot of hurt people here, just like they are all over the place. Why don't you try and comfort somebody? Be an exhorter. Try to edify somebody. That's what Paul says. He that prophesieth unto men speaketh to them in exhortation, in edification, in comfort. We are to comfort people. And who knows? When they see your kindness, when they see your deep concern, they might decide, you know what? I want to be like him. I want something like that. I want his God to be my God. Just what Ruth said. Why don't you make a commitment this day? But the main thing right now is that if you're not saved, ask the Lord to save your soul. We're going to stand up. The altar will be open. We will turn to page 249. The altar is open.